For our scripture reading tonight, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 14 through 30. We'll be focusing on those verses, particularly starting at verse 16 to the end, reading from verses 14 to 30. Jesus has embarked upon his ministry, equipped by the Spirit of God, and we read these words that Luke offers, starting at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we've heard you do at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. As for our reading tonight from God's holy word, may he bless that word to us. Dear congregation, do you accept Jesus? Odd question. We're in church. We've been praying and worshiping and singing, and of course we accept Jesus. Why ask such a silly question? Well, maybe I could ask a different way. What Jesus do you accept? It's a serious question. The people in Nazareth had a way of accepting Jesus. They had a particular Jesus they accepted. It's not God's Jesus. What Jesus do you accept? You know, even churches that turn away from the gospel don't necessarily turn away from Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Impress me, Jesus. Entertain me, Jesus. Help me in emergency, Jesus. Be there when I need you. Stay out of my life otherwise, Jesus. There's all kinds of people who accept a version of Jesus. It gets at the big question: accepting Jesus, rejecting Jesus, favoring Jesus, furious with Jesus, loving Jesus, hating Jesus, hating Jesus' people. Here are people who speak with favor, a hometown boy made good, come home. The whole Galilean countryside, all the surrounding towns, what impressive things he's done. He's come home, our guy. Love you, Jesus. And then after some scripture and sermon, hate you, Jesus. What Jesus do you accept? What we find here with Jesus coming to his hometown is very important, because we also live in a time of people like an on-off switch: favor Jesus, disfavor Jesus, amaze us Jesus, impress us Jesus, make us rich Jesus, do for me Jesus, be at hand Jesus, a social cause Jesus, a great example Jesus. And what's interesting about that one, you can be a leftist and have a great example Jesus, or on the far right and have a great example Jesus, and reduce Jesus to a great example. Significantly, when Luke introduces us to the ministry of Jesus, he offers it in this summary form. We could get a lot more information, but Luke is very tight in verses 14 and 15. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. We accept you, Jesus. We want you, Jesus. We embrace you, Jesus. What Jesus do you embrace? A critical question. Now, what we find here is, rather than Luke going into all kinds of details, he spends some time on his return to Nazareth and the reception he gets at home. And it's helpful to consider this, because we still live in times in which we want the right celebrity preacher. Might as well say it. We want the right celebrity, the guy with the right stuff, to preach the right sermons, to gain the ear and be the hope for the church, who will preach the right Jesus to the right times. But Jesus come home kind of shows us what you should expect. For you, Jesus, against you, Jesus. It's going to be a hard path. Now, it's very simple how this sermon's going to unfold. We have a scripture passage that Jesus reads. We got scripture. Second thing that happens is we got sermon. So we're going to look at the sermon. And the last thing we have here is a response, how they take the sermon. So there's your outline. The scripture. We're told that he came to Nazareth. He'd been brought up there. Yes, hometown boy, as was his custom. It was Saturday. It was Sabbath day. He went to synagogue on Sabbath day. And he was the designated reader, speaker. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, found the place where it was written, and he actually turned to two different places in Isaiah. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Anointed one by the Spirit, the very one at his baptism, the Spirit came down upon him, alighting upon him in the form of a dove, has the heavenly voice of the Father giving his imprimatur, his stamp of approval. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. This one anointed the Messiah, the Christed one, for a task. And it's a good news task. To proclaim good news to the poor. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Broken people, hurting people. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those oppressed and to proclaim the Lord's favors upon us. Broken people, hurting people, oppressed people. There's the scripture. Jesus is very deliberate. We read in the Mishnah, what's that? That was sort of a Jewish rabbinic oral tradition law book. Sort of a church polity. Even more detailed in places than the OPC's church polity book. And in chapter 4 of this book, of the Megillah, it explains synagogue worship. Now, synagogue worship included singing from the Psalms. So Jesus did it. So there's your case for psalm singing. Singing the Psalms. Then they would recite the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That. Afterward, there were the 18 benedictions, known as the Tefillah. And these would be recited. Then came a scripture reading, first from the Torah scroll. And so they kept their scrolls. They didn't have little miniature scrolls, you know, their little scroll Bibles. They didn't have that. The scrolls were kept in a kind of ark, a box. And the attendant would take it out, and the reader would go to a place and read. After that, there was a reading from the prophets, and that's where Jesus comes in. And it even says you can skip around. It's even in there. And Jesus does. Jesus finds a couple of different places to read from Isaiah. It's a combination of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and Isaiah 58, verse 6, part of it. And that's what he reads here. And now as the designated reader, he's the expounder. And so he goes and sits down, not in the front bench or somewhere else, but in the teacher's chair. That's why all eyes are fixed on him. Scripture's done. All eyes are fixed on the preacher. And the scripture being read is a scripture for people who know or should what it is to be on the low end. He deliberately goes to Isaiah the prophet. I'm the one who's anointed for a task now. This task in which we've arrived at the year of the Lord's favor. We've arrived at kingdom come. And that will of God, including Messiah's will, be done for kingdom come. For the reign of the Christ to commence, for healing to the nations, for salvation to be accomplished, or to put it in this language, to gospelize, to evangelize the poor, to good news them. because they need a good message. To herald freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind, release for the oppressed. It's all very important because you get these categories of people: poor, imprisoned, blind, oppressed, exactly what the Jews were in various ways. If they were living for God and living straight and living holy, they weren't exactly well off, not most of the time. They were under the Roman boot. They were dominated by a pagan empire. They were not so much prisoners of war, the kind of word used here, but they were under a kind of bondage and a kind of prison. And we know you can, I don't want to put this pejoratively, we can spiritualize this, but very often the poor are those also poor of spirit. Lord, I have nothing. I have no answer. I have no remedy, no avenue, no help except you. Those poor people. And imprisonment can be through being a prisoner of war of sorts, but we know spiritually we're all suffering in prisons of our own making, the tyranny of sin, the oppression and bondage that comes with following after the flesh, chasing these kinds of things, giving in, making excuses, people addicted to alcohol or to drugs or to shopping or to the internet, to sensuality, to just being entertained to death, video games. How many seminary students haven't? I didn't get my paper done because I actually have a video game addiction. They never say that one, but they sort of have it, some of them, sometimes. See all these smirks. There's the one thing I can say, I'm not addicted to video games. I wouldn't say that about all my children, but I never was. There, one for me, about the only one. But there's all kinds of even more serious addictions. Running through relationships. No one's ever good enough. An imprisonment of grudges, bearing a grudge, unforgiving. Anything that pulls us in and keeps us in bondage and there's no release, there's no hope. I come to proclaim, to set at liberty this bondage. That's good news. I think we all still need it. Blind, you can be physically blind, and Jesus came to heal the blind, literally, but even Paul had to be made blind before he could finally really see, because he was so spiritually blind, kicking against the pricks. And we know that the oppressed here, the crushed, sometimes sin just destroys people, wrecks their lives, brings them into all kinds of misery and sorrow. And it just feels like their life is one big ball of yarn and there's no, where do you start to unravel it? It just seems insolvable. I come to bring release, to unravel your knotted up life and put it on the righteous path. Good news. There's the scripture he reads. And it's fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. What a message. But that's just the scripture. He's going to get to the sermon. That comes next. It's fulfilled. It starts with that, right? The sermon. They're all looking at him. Question you might want to ask, though, did they identify themselves as poor, imprisoned, blind, and oppressed? man, I can relate. Or, yeah, there's people like that. As I was talking about it, yeah, there's people like that. Or, man, I can relate. Which? What Jesus do you accept? What Jesus do you think you need? So important for us, I think, to listen to those words of Isaiah as fulfilled in your hearing, to hear them with exhilaration. Really? The anointed ones arrived? The Spirit of the Lord's on this hometown boy that we've news about him, his glory spreading throughout all of the region there, as it's explained there in Galilee, glorified by all. Let's share in it. Let's glory too. All spoke well of him and were amazed, we're told. I mean, that there's the, oh, we accept you, Jesus. We embrace you, Jesus. We bear witness of you, Jesus. Yes, yes to Jesus. It's fulfilled in your hearing. Oh, marveled at the gracious words coming from Jesus. And isn't this Joseph's son? We know you. But what hasn't he done? Words. Impress us, Jesus. Miracle us, Jesus. Show us something snazzy, Jesus. Wow us, Jesus. It's Jesus reading their hearts brings a sermon for the heart. And he said to them, doubtless you'll quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. You know, there's something wrong with you. You need fixing. You need help. Well, look at yourself, doctor, with your sniffles and your cough and your fever, and you look all pale and sickly and sweaty. Heal yourself. Poor, oppressed, blind, needing good news, needing rescue. And Jesus says, you're going to quote that proverb back to me, physician, heal yourself. Or this one, what we heard you did in Capernaum, those impressive miracles and stuff, do here in your hometown as well. Wow us, Jesus. Show us, Jesus. Prove it, Jesus. Prove that you're the anointed one with the Spirit on him who's going to do these stupendous things. Truly I say to you, no prophet's acceptable in his hometown. I like to use that one on my wife, you know. You know, preacher preaches around, oh yeah, whatever, you know. See, no prophet is, it's just you, whatever. <You know? laughs> Well, after all these years. But every hometown boy preaching in his home church, oh boy, I remember you when... I remember when this happened. You didn't know that catechism answer back when, you know. You were naughty once. I remember. Well, what were they supposed to remember about Jesus? That he honored his mother and father? That he grew up in wisdom and truth? That he loved his neighbor as himself. No prophet so important we hear the sermon Jesus designs for them, because he takes them to an Old Testament as a way of getting at the point. Why wouldn't you truly accept this Jesus as given to us by the Father? In truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months and a great famine came over the land. You remember that from 1 Kings. And Elijah was sent to none of them. Many widows, many burdened, many starving, many perishing. Elijah was sent to none of the regular covenant church-going, synagogue-going, temple-going people. None of them. But he was only sent to Zarephath in the land of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. You remember that story? She was gathering sticks so that she could make one last meal out of the little oil and flour she had left for she and her son and die. And Elijah comes along and says to her, "Don't be afraid." This is 1 Kings 17:13-14. "Don't be afraid. You go home and you first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have. Bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord of Israel says. This: the jar of flour will not be used up, the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain to the land." And she, the starving woman, down to her last little meager provisions, does what the prophet says. And as long as that famine endured 3.5 years, the flour and the oil did not run dry. Do you get the message, people of Nazareth? You want to test me. You want me to prove myself. Do the stuff that you did in Capernaum. You'll know I'm God's anointed Messiah, the Christed one, by trusting me, heeding my word, following. But he says to everybody, take up your cross and follow. We all have to ask, what Jesus do I accept? The Jesus that calls me to a cross, to a death, to an old life, to follow a new life in him? Or do I want just an emergency Jesus? Fix me, Jesus. Do for me, Jesus. Be there when I want you. Stay out of my life when I don't, Jesus. What Jesus do you accept? He's challenging the people of his hometown. Will you trust like the poor widow outside the strict covenant keeper kind of people, or who? What? He continues with his second illustration. From Elijah, he goes to Elisha. "And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile." Now there too, we need to hear the story from 2 Kings 5. The Naaman was a commander of the Syrian army, and he had leprosy, and he was desperate, and he heard of this Elisha, this prophet. And the king of Syria says, "Hey, there's There's one who can cure you. And seeing this commander from a foreign army invade or come into the land made them nervous. But the prophet calmed the king of Israel, and Naaman was directed to come to him. And when he comes, this is what Elisha does. He sends a servant out to him. Naaman doesn't even come personally. You know, I'm a big, important general. I'm a up-and-comer. I'm a bigwig, a mover and a shaker. He sends a little servant out to tell him, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. What? What? We have better rivers back home than here. What? Go wash? Take a bath in a river? That's it? And he goes off in a huff, furious. But his own servants say, hey, I mean, it's a version of what do you got to lose if he asked you to do something hard and difficult and so on? Wouldn't you do it? Why not? Come on. If it's meek and humiliating, so what? And he does. And he's healed. And the people hear the message loud and clear. You mean you come to proclaim blessedness to the weak, the humble, the broken, the needy, even the Gentile needy, and you're saying that we're like them? Now, before you think, well, how dare they? And if I said you're like worldly people that don't know Jesus and don't go to church and don't know how to speak well and have a dirty mouth and don't pray, and you're like them, I'm offended because I'm low, but not that low. And I'm oppressed with sin, but not that oppressed by sin. And I need a Savior, but not as much as they need a Savior. Because I'm better than they are. Well, I find that offensive, Pastor. Do you? Do you? What Jesus do you need? Fix me, Jesus. Be a little s Savior for little s sinners. For the more sanctified class of sinner, like us. Not as oppressed, not as blind, not as needy, not as poor. Well, you know the response Jesus gets. Service is interrupted. This is the time where you all rise up, grab me by the throat, throw me out the doors, you know. That's what they did. They didn't wait for the ironic blessing. They didn't wait for the amens. They interrupt the preaching and the service is over. Not this. This is our hometown boy. We accept you, Jesus. We speak well of you, Jesus. We all glorify you, Jesus. We want you dead, Jesus. Everyone's speaking well of Jesus in the region, glorifying him in his hometown, wants him tossed off a precipice. Nothing's changed, has it? We still live in a world where people want a version of Jesus to their own making. They want to reduce Jesus to fit their life. They want to trim and cut and snip at Jesus to accommodate their comfort zones and their spirituality. And yeah, me and Jesus, yeah, we're buddies, we're pals. I follow him. He just never takes me anywhere I don't want to go. Wow. Who's leading whom? This is a hard one for me, too. All of us are tempted to want a Jesus who answers the prayer, "My will, not thy will, be done." But we know that's wrong. Jesus will take, when he says take up a cross, that means there's a lot to die to in your life, a lot that needs to get crucified. The old nature, the old flesh, the old habits, the old bondages still hang on to us. If you don't know a sin addiction in your life, a grudge addiction, a conceit addiction, a looking down your nose at an unbelieving neighbor addiction, you don't see yourself poor yet, needy yet, blind. I sometimes think that we spend our whole lives learning that we need Jesus and his merciful salvation more than we ever thought. It's not, well, when I was 17, I was a naughty high school kid and I saw it, I needed Jesus. And no, when you're 88, you're still learning. And 92, you're still learning. He's still showing you that you don't need a helper. You need a savior. You don't need assistance. A boost. You need him. Take you the whole way. The Lord enables him to walk right through their midst. You can call it a miracle, but whatever it was, he went away. Because God, he is God's anointed to do this work, to proclaim this news still to us, as people who are poor and blind and imprisoned and crushed. You know people who are crushed, whose lives are just so in so much bondage. You know your repeat offenses. You know, he's a repeat offender. Every one of us here are. You've been praying for help over the same sins your whole life. Call it a thorn in the flesh if you want to. I don't know what to call it. But I do know this. We have to keep coming back to the one who proclaims gospel to us. That is him. Good news for needy people who flunked and failed in all kinds of places, who are blind to all the places they're flunking and failing. And he's still giving us sight. Still loves us. Who says, "Ooh, not me, yes, you." Mercy to a pagan widow, an Assyrian pagan commander, yes, them. Mercy to the ones we think don't get mercy, do they? Yes, them. And that then means yes, you. What sort of people do you think need mercy? The fixed up ones? Have it all together ones? Don't have any big sins ones? Jesus came again to be a little s savior for little s sinners. is a passage that asks us, because we see what Jesus they didn't accept, what Jesus will we accept? Will we pray for? It can only be the one who's anointed with the Spirit of God, who's the anointed one of God, who brings this good news, because the good news is himself, God. The one who dies on a cross for us, God, who bears a curse in our stead, the one who's the Christ, who will never leave us and will see us through to the end in our oppression, our poverty, our bondage, our sorrow. Because we live in this big year until kingdom come of his favor. And that's our message for a broken world. I find it hard to have compassion for the world at times. I'll just be honest. But Jesus does, as he has compassion on us. That ought to fortify us, the onward Christian soldier, because we're onward as his. He's onward in us. Amen. Our gracious Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Father's gift to us. May we hear the good news that is you. May we receive it with joy. May we accept you as the Jesus you are. Forgive us in the ways we reject you. For Jesus' sake, amen.